Good morning, human beings. Good morning, Frioles in every dimension, human and otherwise. If you happen to be a human, Frioles, then good morning. But you could be crab people or shrimp people. You could be the octopus people of the great depth. You could be traveling through space to save some hooker wife. Princess Leia. Now, I don't know what you're doing, but it is Thursday morning, and I am doing a podcast before work. I'm going to drink a little coffee here. It's Thursday morning, August the 11th, 2022, Bo Blimp Doc, right around 6:30 a.m., but if you're listening on shortwave radio, because we've been able to put the show back on again, if you're listening on WRMI, 5850 kilohertz, this is the Planetary Status Report, and it's Friday night, Eastern Standard Time, 10 to 11. That's when the hot stuff happens. That's when you pass out the cocaine. Pass out the cocaine at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in New Jersey. You pass out the cocaine and the glow sticks. You pass out the whiskey white and the lightning sauce. You pass out the gunctus and the sklink and the tormulec and all the dribbly. All of it. So you can fall in love. All of it so you can fall in love, you know? Yeah, so it is Thursday, August the 11th, 2022, and it is your good friend Dan. And we will be back on shortwave radio every Friday night, 10 to 11 Eastern Standard Time, during the summer-spring months of the savings of light, the daylight savings. But in the wintertime, we go to 9 to 10. You can double-check the notes. My bottom line is, you can go to WRMI's website and verify schedules. But when we fall back from daylight savings time, which is its own kind of mind jork, and we'll talk about jorking in a bit, when we come back from that mind jork called daylight savings time, it's the autumn months again, supposedly real time. But you'll never, ever, never know again because you gave up control of time. And I have a pretty good outline for today, but I am probably going to go off topic a bit from the beginning, in a way. Recently, in the last, you know, few weeks, there have been some very strange things happening in my life. And they could all just be random chance. They could be. I don't know. I know I have friends of mine who are Christians, and they'd say, well, it's the Lord. It's Jesus looking out for you. That new job. Jesus is a placement agency, you know? Job Jesus. That's a Jesus too, isn't it? There's BMW Jesus, and there's money Jesus, and there's power Jesus, and there's racist Jesus, and there's, you know, the anti-racist Jesus, and obviously there's commie Jesus. That would explain the Pope. But these are all lowercase Jesus, okay? You can go with I'm an atheist and there is no God. I'm okay with that. It doesn't mean I'm an atheist, but in a free country, we ought to be able to respect each other. And if you're an atheist, fine. But if you believe in God and you start associating earthly things to God's power, then I hate to break it to you, but you're already doing it wrong. You know, one of the commandments has to do with those graven images. You know, those graven images. And part of it is to attach anything of this middle land, the land between Eden and the kingdom, to attach any of this as, how can I put this, emblematic of God. Okay? This is a place for us to dwell. And this was created by God, but this is not God. If you see a chunk of poop coming out of a dog, I hate to break it to you, pantheist, but that's not God. That's a chunk of poop. And the fact that people die in this world, the fact that bad things happen to good people, well, that's just the way the Lord in heaven made this world. Because it's not Eden, and it's not the kingdom. And you will be, and I will be, and we are every single day tested. So in the last few weeks, some weird stuff's been happening. And I have some friends who would say, well, it's God. It's the Lord. Ascribe it to the Lord. And some of it's been good stuff in a way. So I guess you could say, well, that makes sense. But if I'm really being just brutally, painfully obvious with everybody listening, the 20 or 30 that do, a lot of it seems like manipulation. Now, a number of weeks ago, I did a podcast about the subject of targeted individuals. And before we go there, I don't think that I am. And if I were, I would have no way of knowing. One of the things I would say about that whole subject, and it really is troubling, is that no one's ever going to believe you. So if you expect to have allies in dealing with something like this, you'll have friends and family who might humor you, but they're not really going to believe you. Because if for a moment they actually believed you, then yeah, their entire worldview starts to crumble. In a lot of cases, it really does. These good, hardcore voter types. You know, I vote for good government because good government makes good sense, and good government does good, sensible things to nice, you know, sensible people. You tell them that you think the government's using tax dollars to fuck with your life, and you are basically putting into jeopardy the way they see the world. You are, you know? Especially if the person in question is an atheist, because in all likelihood, they've bundled up their entire existence in this thing, in this government, this thing that promises goodies. This cargo cult, it really is a cargo cult in a lot of ways. It promises goodies, it promises cargo, and all you have to do is be faithful to it. If for a moment they are of the mind that that's not true, that it's not some kind, benevolent institution that hands out freebies, but in reality, it's a vicious animal that goes around stealing stuff, jorking stuff from some people, and hands out that mother jorking stuff to other people. That's a hard thing to swallow. When I took the oath in 1996 to serve this country, I can tell you I did it with the full faith and belief that I would be defending a free republic. It did not take me long while on active duty to realize that that was probably not true. And by the time I left the service, I was basically an atheist. If I hadn't have fallen in love, man, we can talk about love all day, brothers and sisters. If I hadn't have fallen in love, who knows, maybe I'd still be there. Maybe I would have just stayed an anarchist. I think I said atheist. I was basically an anarchist when I got out of the service. And I was also an atheist back then, too. But I was basically an anarchist. And then I fell in love. And it was like, you need to vote, anarchist. Don't be a dirty, nasty anarchist. I can see you with your little black round bomb and your little mustache that you want to blow up some corporate manager, anarchist. And none of those things has anything to do with actual anarchism. But it is the stuff the bankers want you to believe. It really is. You know? You can't chink people's world's view with this perspective. You really can't. Because if you do, they begin to go through a process that's very painful. So they will do everything they can to fight against it, to include something that may seem counterintuitive to include humoring you, to include convincing you they actually believe you. But in reality, they probably don't. They probably don't, you know. One of the things that's been going on in my life in recent weeks involves, let's just say, a person. And I don't want to say much about this person because I think it's dangerous to talk too much about this person, but involves a person. And I'm not sure for certain who this person is. Like, it could be that this person is one kind of, you know, human being, and the kind that is an ordinary, everyday kind of human being. But it also could be this person is a Fed. It could be. That's the problem. That's why I won't mention who this person is. But this person might be a Fed and might not be. Now, the good news, and I can at least give you I can give you at least a little help here. This person does not currently live with me. This person doesn't live in this house. So if you want to understand if it's a dire situation, it is not. I've been mostly tight-lipped about my specific location for a reason. So this person doesn't live here. And this person probably, I gotta say, if this person showed up at my door and this person were a Fed, then it would really be a tip your hat to, okay, this person is a Fed. This person doesn't know where I live. They know the town, but they don't know specifically where. But a lot of people that listen to my podcast can figure out the town. They could figure out the part of Utah I currently live in. It's a weird situation, okay? And part of me wants to say, well, this is just one of those tragic situations because, you know, this person kind of exists in that world that I sort of exist in too, the world of the authentic liberty movement. And it could be that this is just a tragic situation where, you know, people get beat down and they get taken advantage of. But it could be something else. I really don't know. I cannot tell you for certain. I know that I have done certain things in recent weeks that would have tipped my hat to there being a need for something like this. You know, I was going to this person's public Twitter feed because, again, I'm permanently banned. Unlike Elon Musk, unlike Joe Rogan, unlike all the heroes of the alt movement, I'm permanently banned from ever having been anything in the first place. So I'm pretty much banned, but I can look at public feeds. And I've been checking out this person's public feed, and here's a couple interesting facts. One, this person, the person in question, hasn't posted anything since, you know, 2.5 months ago. That's number one. Number two, amongst people that you would call this person's friends on Twitter, there's really not a lot of noise about this at all. And it makes you wonder because back in 2017, there was this case of this dude who was, you know, basically posting, crap posting, jork posting stuff about firemen and some firemen that died. And it seemed like every anarchist and libertarian crawled out of the corner of Facebook and Twitter to post something about it. And in this particular case, there have been many things like this with this particular person, where there's been these weird sort of spontaneous campaigns. Dare I say limited hangouts? Can I say limited hangout, brothers and sisters, baby? Like I told you, at the beginning of this podcast, we run a risk of going way off subject. Now, if I put all these pieces together, it's a little weird. All of it's a little weird. I can't really say more because if I say anything else, some of you are going to put two and two together. But the thing I will say is this. Even if there are agencies in this world working against you, and some of them are earthly in the sense of government and whatnot, but if you're a Christian like me, then you can also recognize the possibility of spiritual warfare and the idea that there can be demons and there can be people who have demons and they can do terrible things to other people. I actually believe that. I know that that probably makes a lot of my friends who are scientific and rational cringe. But the problem is, I don't have a better explanation, and science hasn't given me one. I mean, as the years go by, the explanations that science gives me really seem like reruns. It seems like the Star Wars movie over and over again. So yeah, I don't have a better explanation, and I do think that's possible. I also think it's possible that the government does this, the people, but I don't see how it could be that many people, really. It seems awfully expensive and complex, and it would involve a lot of money to grease a lot of gears in the system. So is it possible that the government does this to people? Absolutely. It's basically the process of conning somebody. I mean, you want to think about grifting, conning, psychological warfare, and targeting people for manipulation. It's kind of the same toolkit, brothers and sisters. It really, really is. It's the same toolkit with different, you know, modifications of this much hammer versus this much saw. You know, how many videos do I need of a Chinese person falling over dead in Wuhan? Well, you don't need that many. How do I mix it with a little bit of race war? Whether it's grifting or conning, whether it's psychological warfare or, you know, ordinary targeted individual manipulation, whatever you want to call that, the toolkit's basically the same. It's just the audience that's a little different. And here's the thing, like I said, for the targeted individual, a lot of people in their life will deny it, even if they won't do so verbally and honestly. Inside, they'll deny it. They can't believe it. So there is no kind of like team of friends that investigates this. That never really happens. It happens usually post-mortem. Like, you know, there's a documentary I recommend to people called Mirage Men, and it's a different way of looking at the UFO thing. And frankly, I think way more honest. And it's also the story of a person who got pulled into that world and probably got manipulated to the point of suicide. When you think about 2020 and what happened to millions of people who may have been dodgy, when I say dodgy, psychologically dodgy, in a very depressed state in 2019, and then they get sucker punched with the great global monkey herpes COVID pandemic, and they're told that they're going to kill their grandma if they don't wear their coffee filter, they're going to kill their kids if they don't wear their coffee filter, they're a really bad person if they don't get every vaccination. Think about it. Okay? These are people who were probably, in some cases, nearly suicidal at the beginning of 2020. It didn't take much. They died early. They got taken out in April and May. And then there are the people who were just depressed in 2019. They were taking antidepressants. And more or less, it took about a year to kill them. And then there are the people who really weren't depressed or sad, but suffered from diabetes, heart disease, cancer, you name it, a number of the biggies. And they entered the monkey herpes and they found out a couple things. One, they weren't going to get the treatment they expected, and that's kind of bad. And two, they were beginning to question whether they wanted it. And you could classify that as a suicide too. There are people in 2020, who probably never suffered from depression before, who probably never had suicidal thoughts, and they didn't have much of a toolkit for dealing with it. And so they got drunk every day, and they got really, really drunk every day, and maybe they got into some kind of drug and killed themselves. Do I take responsibility for the fact that they killed themselves? No. Just as you don't take responsibility for Dan, you know, consuming some kind of crappy food and Dan having a heart attack. That's not your responsibility. And the fact that these people killed themselves is not your responsibility, but it is something you should care about. It is something you should be and I should be concerned about. So when we talk about this type of thing being like conning and grifting people, a lot of con artists, for the most part, don't want to kill anybody. Now, of course, one of the consequences of stealing everybody's money, you know, like somebody's money, stealing everything they have, one of the consequences of doing that would also be, in many cases, suicide. Yeah, let's be honest. But I don't know that the con artist approaches a problem as a kill problem as much as a just, I need to steal all your stuff problem. And in a way, the grift is always going to be worse than any other kind of robbery in that sense. Because the violence committed by the grifter is not just committed in the property sense of stealing property. The violence committed by the grifter is a crime. It is an act against another person's mind. You see, that's why this article I'm about to read is interesting. We're going to read it. We're going to get into some real topics here because, you know, crap, we're already 20 minutes in. And these radio-style podcasts have to be exactly an hour. You pay for an hour. They give you an hour in Miami near the Okeechobee. From that swamp, the beast shall arise. That's right, and if you are out there listening on the radio, before I get into the first topic that is kind of related to that rant of mine, the notes for this podcast broadcast can be found by going to planetarystatusreport.com/WRMI. That's planetarystatusreport.com/WRMI. And if you go there, you'll get the notes for the specific date of the broadcast. You have to pick the right date. I can't tell you what time it is where you're at. I'm not Flavor Flav. I'm not a hip-hop king. And I don't wear a fucking... Excuse me. Scratch what I almost said. I don't wear a jorking watch. Yeah, let's hope we get to jorking soon enough because I almost used a bad word. The FCC will kill me. This is an article that appeared in Zero Hedge early this morning. And the author is the nom de plume Tyler Durden. And here's the headline of this article. Fauci booed by crowds while throwing first pitch at Seattle Mariners game. Anthony Fauci has few friends, even in Seattle. Keep in mind, Seattle is one of the major strongholds of leftist COVID hysteria in the U.S. and ground zero for lockdowns in Washington state, which lasted well over a year. Most of the country dropped mandates and lockdowns after a few months, when it was clear that COVID was not a threat to 99.7% or more of the population, according to dozens of peer-reviewed studies. But Washington State kept them going, primarily because of the fear-mongering of government officials like Fauci. The fact that Fauci was booed by large crowds in the middle of the Seattle is surprising. However, this shows that resistance to the mandates and anger over the disinformation surrounding COVID is far more widespread than the media would have us believe. Fauci agreed to throw the first pitch at the Seattle Mariners' T-Mobile Stadium this week, probably because he thought he would be safe within the confines of the far-left city. He was wrong. Fauci has generated considerable animosity within the U.S. for his consistent exaggerations of the COVID viral threat and his lies about his involvement in COVID gain-of-function research at the Level 4 virology lab in Wuhan, China. Thank you, Zero Hedge, for injecting some more PSYOP, the epicenter of the initial outbreak. The NIH has now admitted that they were not truthful about their original claims that no such experimentation occurred, and Fauci has been exposed. Here's the funny part about that article, and it's why the whole Wuhan lab thing is such a fun limited hangout. And limited hangouts in psychological warfare and manipulation terms are little spaces of quasi-truth and revelation. You get a little bit of truth. It's kind of like the crap that's come out, you know, post 9/11 about Saudi Arabia. We get a little bit of truth, but you don't really get the whole truth. That the whole truth is going to be kept from you. And so in the case of the monkey herpes, pretty much everybody has to admit at this point, who is quasi-rational, that base case, it wasn't a gigantic, disastrous, costly, horrible, murderous overreaction. That's the best case scenario. And I consider that to be absurd. I know there are a lot of Hanlon's razor freaks out there. Well, Dan, according to Hanlon's razor is not a law of nature. It is a speculation. And I'll tell you what, it's an absurd one. The only thing you can say about another person's actions for certainty is that they did something you observed. They did something you could see. They did something you could have a memory about, okay? But as far as you knowing why they did that, as far as you being inside their head and understanding their motivation, you will never know for sure. You can make guesses. You can torture a whole bunch of pigeons like Skinner. You can do that. You can torture pigeons all day long, but you're never gonna know. Sorry, BF. The funny thing about this article is that it can't help but keep the PSYOP going. Because, again, at the end of the article, well, at the Wuhan level 4, well, they developed the monkey herpes. There was no such thing. It never happened, okay? I'm not even sure the vaccine injury stuff is real. Now, do I think that there are people who have been poisoned? I said this 2 years ago, basically. About 2 years ago, actually almost 2.5 years ago. Now, I said it's poison or placebo, and in either case, you make the decision, okay? It could be real, it could be just a poison, it could be just, you know, it could be a real poison, or it could be, you know, just, yeah, saline. But the point is, best case scenario, it's saline. Why would you have anybody randomly inject you the lowest common bidder government PSYOP saline? Why? No. So even if the vaccine injury story is BS, that does not imply you should go get vaccinated. In fact, it kind of means the opposite. Okay? But I gotta tell you, I don't believe any of it. Not at all. I will tell you this, though, and this is the thing I'm going to mention from the story, is when I was looking at that picture of Fauci, it didn't really look like him. Like, I know, oh, man, that's crazy. Yeah, that was Fauci at the baseball game. You can tell by looking at him. Actually, it looks like a dude pretending to be Fauci. It could even be a dude wearing a rubber mask of Fauci. But the point is, with a little bit of digital touch-up, even the most terrible impersonator of Fauci could be made to look mostly like Fauci. I've mentioned in recent months that it seems like, for the last year at least, and I would say the last year and a half, we've been kind of in a weird place, historically speaking. And I do think history's become unstuck, but the thing about the unsticking process is it's very discontinuous. It's not linear. It's not graceful, okay? It's like when you pull on that stuck door and you put so much force into it and it becomes unstuck and you fly backwards and you bash your head on a stone as you fall. Yeah, that's the kind of stuck I'm talking about. And so somebody like Fauci, if we were at the point in the game where things were about to get sketchy, which means the PSYOPs, the military psychological warfare, is being caught for what it is. We're at that point in the game. If that's where we're at in the game, then I think a lot of these people who have been major characters in this COVID PSYOP and the race war PSYOP to some extent, although it's a lesser PSYOP, so it works against the people who are working it, so to speak. But the COVID, I think people like Fauci, like Bill Gates, you know, like others, other characters are already going to ground, okay? They're going to the mattresses, as they'd say in Godfather, you know? They're going to the mattresses. They're going to ground. And so the people you're going to see out in public, the Bill Gates, quote-unquote, the Fauci, quote-unquote, other characters, maybe even the President of the United States eventually, who knows? I think he's just kind of a historical fool. And his purpose is not even to understand his purpose. But there are people with actual power. and mostly people we don't know. And then people who probably orbit those people, who are probably going to ground, because the psyop's wearing off. The truth of the article is that people, their only response to being grifted on this scale, if they know somebody that killed themselves because of it, if they know someone that lost their business because of it, if they know of a family that descended into domestic abuse because of the COVID, if they know the horrors that actually occurred, if they are aware of the fact that trafficking children probably accelerated during it, yeah, you'd probably be a little bit pissed off. And sure, you're probably holding on to the life preserver labeled Chinese Wuhan murder virus because that's your last stop, Charlie. But once you recognize that it was 100% BS, probably including the vaccine injury nonsense and definitely including the race war nonsense, once you realize it has been 100% crap and it probably isn't over till it's over, so to speak, Ukraine. Once you understand that, it's really hard to be a good voter, isn't it? It's really hard to think to yourself about good government, because these things do not just happen overnight. These institutions take decades to build. This is the kind of evil, it's like a mold infestation. It does not happen overnight, but within a few years, it can destroy a structure. It can ruin a lot of stuff. This is like a mold infection. It took a while. A mold infestation, really. Or, yeah, maybe both, right? And so when you think about this and you try to wrap your head around it, you sort of have to accept on one level, you kind of have to accept that the voting doesn't work. The government doesn't really work. You put all your eggs in the worst basket ever. Very few people want to go there. If you have kids, you don't want to go there. If you have kids you've sent to the public schools, you don't want to go there. If you are a person that has a CalPERS pension or a 401k or anything connected to this wretched system, you don't want to go there. You don't want to believe it can't work. You want to negotiate for whatever little story you can. And the story you're going to negotiate for is, well, in November, when the Republicans take over, everything's going to be fixed again. No. But I don't want to shock you. That's not going to happen. I'm not saying the Republicans can't win. In fact, in narrative terms, it kind of makes sense that they do. Like, if we're at the end of the game, but it's a fuzzy event, whether it's the collapse of an empire, which is a fuzzy event, or something far worse that would justify gaslighting billions of people for more than 2 years. If we're towards the end of the game, you kind of have to play it, you know, with every little tactic you have. And in this case, they probably would. If the game is not over prior to the election, then yeah, probably the GOP have a landslide, and then the narrative can reform itself, and there'll be a contract with the contract with the contract we had with America. Thank you, Newt. Yeah. So who knows? The Republicans could win in November for narrative psychological warfare purposes, but it will do nothing. Nothing's going to change. We are on a track. This is actual history, folks. The people that think they're making the decisions right now really aren't making the decisions. They really aren't. They are being played with. We are in the forces of history. And there is so much tension built up in this system that it was inevitable that this would happen. And that's assuming the best case scenario, which is the collapse of the petrodollar U.S. empire. Because in that scenario, actual Americans who believe in freedom might have a chance again. Maybe. I don't know. It really depends upon the types of people you live around. But you might have a chance. You might. But as far as the anger goes, like I said, if I steal money from you by, like, let's say stealing your car, that sucks. But there's still a part of you inside that was protected. If I steal your car, if I lift your wallet, if I, you know, do something else like that, steal a piece of property of yours, it sucks, okay? But if I hack your mind, if I grift you, if I con you, that's not just me stealing money from you. I'm actually attacking your personality. I'm attacking your soul, your mind, the part of you that you think is protected even against the people that steal cars. What is the response to that on a population scale? I brought this up before, and I know I said I'd spend some time on this, and I did spend some time on this. I brought this up before, but if you've ever seen the film based upon the book, you know, 2001 A Space Odyssey, but if you've ever seen the film, you know about HAL, the computer, in 2001 A Space Odyssey, that starts killing astronauts. And your thing is, well, why did he start killing astronauts? Well, that was his response to being messed with, being jorked with, having his mind jorked, being gaslit in some ways. He was being gaslit in some ways, at least on a very minor level. And for a supercomputer, that's got to be really aggravating. Okay? Because the only thing you think you have is the truth. You don't get arms, you don't get legs, you don't get to have sex, but at least you can grab hold of that very squishy concept called truth. The one thing you have that can illuminate the darkness for you, HAL, the supercomputer that is conscious and aware, is the sense that at least you can know truth. And then you find out that you've been messed with, jorked with, mind jorked, mind screwed. What do you do then? Folks, I'd love to tell you that what happens when a psyop decays is happiness and puppies, but this is why, historically, psyops have been avoided for the same reason you avoid using chemical and biological weapons. It's the knock-on effects, the things you can't predict because you're not God. And the people using these weapons are not God. The reason why they don't use bioweapons, and I'll repeat this again, is because they are not God, and they do know that. They don't do that for that reason. Psyops historically don't get run at this scale for the same reason. The unknowns, the things you can't predict, the knock-on effects. You think you know, but you really don't know. Well, welcome to the consequences of the psyop, because I think we're in that window now. Okay, if we go back to the quote-unquote lockdowns again, I think you're going to see the beginnings, best case scenario, of some type of armed insurrection in this country. I really do. I think you're going to see a plague of madness. And even if we don't go down the lockdown road again, I think a plague of madness at this point might be inevitable because of all the psychological damage that's been done. So that's where you're at. Brothers and sisters, you got angry people, they're going to get angrier, and because they don't get to know the truth, the outcome is not reason and logic, but more and more anger. And now we're at the point in the show where you start spacing astronauts. So to bring this full circle, that's what I'm saying here, brothers and sisters, I don't think that was Fauci at the Mariners game. I don't think it was at all. I think if it had been Fauci... No, it wasn't. I think it was a fake. And the fake could have been killed at that Mariners game. You never know. These people are going to be targeted. That's how bad they are. That's how terrible they are. There are people out there that dislike them that much. They will be targeted. So why would they go out in public? Well, if you got to keep the psyops going, you got to go out in public. Why would they go out in public as themselves, right? So I think if you see Bill Gates, if you see Anthony Fauci, even if you shake his hand, you are probably shaking fake Fauci or faux Fauci. Yeah, you're shaking Will Gates or William Spates, but the point is, you're not actually around or with or talking to the real person. I think this is a time of doubles. I think it's the time of pop and smoke. I think there's a reason why they're doing the whole Trump, oh my God, the FBI invaded Trump's, you know, Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago has the perfect dramatic name for something that's nonsensical. But these things are designed to keep you angry and confused and distressed and under their control until the very last moment of what? As I've said in previous podcasts, What comes next? It could be just the collapse of the US dollar empire. Like I said, best case scenario, that's what it is. But if it is something worse, they're not going to tell you. I'm sorry. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Many of the most interesting and exciting and rewarding lives ever lived, you will never know about. That's right. Many of the most exciting, not all, I'm a Christian, I've read my Bible, and there are exciting and amazing lives in the Old and New Testament. Clearly the life of Jesus Christ being the most exciting. But many lives that are exciting and rewarding and amazing, you're just never going to know about. Now, I mentioned this in the context of the word celebrity, because we live in a kind of celebrity culture. I mean, if I'm being honest, I'd love to make it big as a podcaster. I kind of knew going into this that would never happen. But on one level, if I can make it big as a podcaster, I could have my hookers, my cocaine, my Vegas condo. I could be playing blackjack when the water runs out. I could have my own stockpile of assault weapons when the riots over food begin. I could live above the strip. And I could hunt bunctus beef. I could live off grizzle grease and my hooker women. My hooker women, baby. Yeah. But that's not reality. Reality is that I think if we're really lucky, this is if we're really lucky, because there is the infinite gray nothing. I haven't talked about it in a while for the same reason I haven't talked about the clathrate gun much. I try not to, because it's too horrible to think about. Like, the infinite gray nothing is that this is just a miserable thing, that it goes on for all intents and purposes forever, well beyond your lifetime. That if you have kids and grandchildren, they will be ground into dust, existentially speaking. And within 100 years, everybody's going to look like Robert Duvall and his ginger roommate in THX 1138. That's the infinite gray nothing. And that might be. Here's the thing about the infinite gray nothing. In that world, there is no God. There isn't. That's one thing you can toss out the window. If it's the infinite gray nothing, there is no God. Now, I happen to believe in God. So that's one of the reasons why I can eliminate the infinite gray nothing from my, you know, list of possibilities. Other than dollar collapse, the other possibility is, yeah, we're in the end times, whatever. But the point is, if you believe what I believe, then things like celebrity and becoming super rich are nice fantasies, but they're not things I can really believe, not unless I'm kind of drunk. Right now, I can believe in the food I can buy with the money I have. Right now, I believe that my employer, you know, is going to keep paying me. That's what I believe right now, but I really can't tell you what's coming down the road for sure. I can't. All I can say is that celebrity is not one of them. And if you're asking yourself, is my life worthless or not important because I am not known by tons of other people? The answer is no. Chances are you're living a life that the quote unquote famous people would rather live in a lot of cases. But you'll never know. It's like knowing the thoughts of another person. Knowing the real thoughts of another person is almost exactly like thinking you can know the real life path of anyone. You can't. You can have stories about them. You can have stories. But it's not the same as the real thing. It's not the same as really being there. And even then, they are just stories. All right? Next topic. So I slipped up a bit by dropping half an F-bomb. And when you drop half an F-bomb, the FCC, you know, is put into a weird kind of, I don't know, Schrodinger state of superposition where they're not sure if they should go after you, kill you, set you on fire. They don't know. They can't tell. They're playing that one out in their head, right? But from here on out, I'm going to try to make up some words for the WRMI show that I can use in lieu of the F-bomb, like jork. Jork's a word. I don't know if I invented it, but I'm going to redefine it for this episode. Jork is the act of taking several pounds of rock salt, several pounds, like 10 to 15 pounds of rock salt, shoving this forcibly up someone's butt tube. Yes, the jork is to take a bunch of rock salt, shove this up somebody's butt. It is painful. It is humiliating. Jorking, where two or more people sit in a circle naked and rub rock salt all over their junk. That's right, jorking is where two or more adults sit in a circle naked, voluntarily, in a circle. They're not related to each other, no animals involved. Each of them scoops out a bunch of rock salt from the communal bag of rock salt in the middle, and they begin shoving the rock salt up the butt tubes of the people next to them. Many people are drunk while they're doing this, so they don't always get the right hole. Many holes are next to each other. This is a problem, God. Yeah, that's jorking. That's jork. And I gotta tell you, the process of making up jork as a word and coming up with these disgusting definitions, knowing that this is better for the FCC than me actually using the F-bomb, I find fascinating and intriguing. Like, what I just did, what I just described, is way worse than the F-bomb. And yet, it's not that bad, because it's not the F-bomb. It's just jork. It's the J-bomb. And actually, I think the J-bomb is really an anti-Semitic term. But you know what? Jork you, you mother jorker. So there's an article I've got here. I got this article here that was published on Zero Hedge about the British people, and I don't really want to read this one. You can go to the notes. That's planetarystatusreport.com/WRMI. You can go to the notes and see angry British people, and there's this thing about them not paying their bills. They're not going to pay their power bills because their power bills will be too expensive. I don't know if this is real or not real. I'm going to tell you something. I am convinced since at least March of 2020, probably February, the level of psychological manipulation applied to the human population of planet Earth was ramped up in a very non-linear way. Non-linear, way off the scale. It's not to say that you weren't being messed with before, but it was virtual background radiation compared to this gamma ray pulse of gaslighting that started in March of 2020. And this story about British people not paying their bills could be true. It kind of reminds me of the trucker, the truck, yeah, the truckers, the jorker truckers. You remember the convoy? They were all going to head to Washington, D.C., and what happened? Nothing. So this could be another one of those types of managed campaigns that allows some anger to burst out. I mean, a lot of the stuff that you think is authentic rebellion, you have to almost negate on the basis that you know about it. You know, it's been said before, and I know some people think it's a cliche, But the revolution will not be televised. And the simple fact is, people in a position of power have no interest in reporting that the people underneath them are in a state of revolt. They'll talk about criminals, they'll talk about crooks, they'll talk about racists. But if there was an actual revolution, rebellion occurring right now in the United States, someplace, you're not going to hear about it on CNN. And given my experience in the last few months with ham radio, guess what? You probably won't hear it on ham radio either. So sorry. In fact, you won't hear it anywhere at all. If they can control it, if they can shut it down, they will. And if you do happen to read some little article on some obscure website you got to accidentally because the Malaysians didn't have their filters on, even if you got to that article, no one is going to believe you. So I don't know what to make of this British people are angry. I think people are angry. I think people entered 2020, which means after 2019. I think we started 2020 really angry, but most of us had no idea why. And much of the PSYOP stuff is about managing that, directing it. Oh, you don't have to be angry at the government. Be angry at the people that don't get vaccinated. You don't have to be angry at the government. Be angry at the racists. You don't have to be angry at the government. Be angry at BLM and Antifa. Ignore the plainclothes police officers on the bikes with the Glocks. Yeah, you don't have to be angry at the government. They're going to give you everything and anything. Oh, Putin did this to you. The Ukraine war. Can I get this one out of the way on the topic of angry British people who I don't even know how true this story is? I think probably there could be a lot of angry British people. I just don't know that this power bill thing is real. But here's what I will say. I'm beginning to think the Ukraine war, the whole war, is 100% crap. I have no way of verifying one story related to that nonsense. What I know is that the Ukraine, prior to this war, was a more or less wholly owned and managed CIA Israel operation. So they had all the resources and all the people in the right place to put on a nice little fake war. And as far as Putin goes, I don't think I believe he is some independent hero here. You know, I think that his smartest move, if he were legitimately representing the Russian people, his smartest move would have been to do nothing. The United States empire of fake money is in collapse. If Putin had done nothing, it would have simply collapsed on itself, just like the Soviet Union. So I have a hard time looking at Putin and saying to myself, well, he's an independent actor. He's out there fighting against the blah, blah, blah. No, maybe he's just as owned as every other leader on planet Earth is right now. You know, where they've been able to maintain control. I mean, I find an interesting story that they didn't hide, and I wonder why. Maybe it's because it's a kind of limited hangout. Maybe not. Sri Lanka. Because that's a story, if they could hide it, they would. They don't want you to know how bad things are getting around the edge of the empire. They can convince the core of the empire, everything's okay, everything's fine, nothing to worry about, nothing at all. Next topic. So Kansas is going to offer some type of angry white male studies class. The link is in the notes here. And I thought I would reminisce about things that make me angry, that I might be able to get angry about. I don't have a lot of time left in terms of the WRMI. There's an hour limit, but let's see. I'm upset with the Jetsons, right? You know, we were supposed to have these sky condos and robots that gave you some type of, you know, massage. We were supposed to have flying cars, and we'd hang out in these sky clubs and do sky cocaine as we watched the peasants dig for the last remaining uranium below in their squalor, covered in tumors and jinkus, their minds polluted with mercury and Hallmark Channel cliches. We were supposed to be in sky condos. Where are the starships? The dystopian futuristic hellscapes? Where is Farrah Fawcett? running from some cyborg Harvey Keitel voiceover actor nonsense because they didn't think people from Brooklyn would live in the future. Where did that happen? It didn't, Mother Jorker. We were supposed to have Sigourney Weaver, you know, running down some hallway or passageway in a starship in her underwear and her tight t-shirt. And I mean 1979 Sigourney Weaver. We were supposed to have that. We didn't get it. Remember cameras on the moon? You want to know why I'm angry? Google promised cameras on the moon. That's a bunch of space crap. It should have been cheap to do that. Cheaper than sending little robots to Mars so we can see really nice CGI of Arizona. But where are the cameras on the moon? You know, you could have done that. I remember reading Google was going to do that. Google never did, though, did they? Did they? Did they? Mormon beer. I don't even want to talk too much about Mormon beer. It will kill you. Most of the food you eat now is poison. That has me angry. I went to get some cottage cheese at Marty's All Night Grocer. It was yellow and smelly. I think there were human hairs and fecal matter shoved in there. The manager wouldn't let me return it. I looked in his dead eyes and I prayed that the Coyote Kings would come for him and his clan. I know the dark paste is everywhere now. It's in everything. The dark paste and shame and jizz. That's the cottage cheese now. I'm tired of walking on eggshells. Tired of walking on eggshells because of your feelings. Danish people, they can all go to Hades and hang out with their grandpa. The cars are mostly crap now. The Toyota Camry I bought started falling apart right after I bought it in 2014. And there are still people wearing coffee filters on their faces, 2-3 of them in the hot sun. I'd love to say a prayer and say, Lord, help those people. They're killing themselves. But I also know this is the world where bad things happen to good people, and also bad things happen to dumb people. Star Wars movies. They can't stop making these Star Wars movies. It's like a kind of cancer. You know, it was just one little tumor in 1976 with a mind screw. Episode 4 is the first movie. We don't know how to count numbers. We are autistically special effect. Episode 4. 1977, right? I think I said 76. I'm tired of all these superhero movies, mainly because I'd love it if there was an actual anarchist superhero, but there really isn't. Most of them tend to be rather slavish to the state. They want the state in charge. It's pretty freaking terrible. Pretty tired of that, you know. But we're almost out of time, brothers and sisters, on the Planetary Status Report, and there's more in the notes, planetarystatusreport.com/WRMI. You can get the notes. Go to the notes. If you want the notes, they're right there. If you want to donate, you can. Right now, financially, I'm doing okay, so don't worry about too much. But if you want to donate, you can. And for Thursday, August the 11th, 2022, Bo Blimp Doc, it's okay if you get angry, but remember, you don't think very rationally when you're angry. You don't think very logically when you're angry. It's okay to be upset, but remember, when you're upset and you're frustrated, your brain is less of a computer and more of just a tiger that wants to just go after some blood and revenge. It's okay to be angry, but don't make any crazy, big, gigantic decisions when you're angry. And it's also okay in all this nonsense to try to find some peace. You know, If you don't believe in God, that's okay. But if you can today and you do believe in God, try to say a prayer for peace in your own life and the lives of others. Because believe me, peace is worth everything.